Welcome to the Sacred Awakenings podcast. We are a community that supports spiritual exploration in order to awaken our greatest potential. Our Sunday gatherings are a time we set aside for ritual and ceremony as a community to enrich our own spiritual lives with the support of other open-hearted people. We have taken excerpts from our Sunday talks from various spiritual leaders to put here to make it easier for listening and re-listening. Enjoy our talk.
Good morning, friends. Thanks for such a warm welcome. And thank you, Dan, for your beautiful music, as always. You know, we all know that at some level, that the totality of creation is continuously in a state of change. In nature, in the universe, in our own lives, we see cycle upon cycle of change, cycle of birth, cycle of death, cycle of rebirth. Everything is always in the process of coming into being or expiring. Nothing is ever static, and nothing endures. Good to have this reminder. Life itself means to separate from our source, and to be reunited, to change form and condition. And every day, we die to our old selves, and we are reborn. To act and to cease, to wait and to rest, begin again with a new perspective. This is our cycle of life. And in the four seasons, change is demonstrated, for me anyway, so clearly. The refrain to a song kept coming up as I thought about this.
And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle.
Let's pretend that Joni Mitchell wrote this song about the seasons, not on the deeper level about our human lives, but a little more on a surface level. The lyrics remind me of that inescapable fact that we experience a continual parade of Mother Nature and Mother Earth's dramatic changes season after season, especially in zones that are farther from the equator. So for most of my 180 seasons, I counted them up. It's more than that, but rounded off. In this human incarnation, I've mostly enjoyed the seasons. It was easy to welcome the spring, the earth waking up, birth a new life, the warmer weather, creating an uplifting feeling of hope. And then I delighted in the summer, those long, sultry afternoons, lasting well into evening, giving more light and more time to be outdoors, and flowers, and the shade, trees. And in fall, for me, even though the process of decay is so evident in the trees dropping their leaves, it's still uplifting for me because they go out in a blaze of glory with their colors. So actually, fall has always been my favorite season because of the crisp days and harvest, the animals gathering for winter. And I always loved apple picking and pumpkins and those Indian summers. And actually, for me, fall felt like the beginning of a new year because I was a teacher and also because my birthday coincided with the beginning of school. So now I have a confession. Right now, we're in the only season that I dreaded the most of my life. Full on winter. And as it turned out, I moved to Florida, where this season right now is the season of having to put a blanket on the bed and wear a sweater and cover the pool. I remember winter so well that I really feel it in my bones. Raise my children up in New Hampshire. Friends, I believe we're each 100% human and 100% spirit at the same time. We're in two worlds simultaneously, the physical world and the ethereal world. And in a few moments, we're going to delve into the metaphysical or the symbolic side of winter and what gifts we can mine in that realm. But for now, from a purely human perspective that exists, what images and feelings arise for you around this season? Do you think of the short daylight hours and the long, dark, cold nights? To me, the novelty of the beauty of the snow and the crystal ice formations would wear off by, at least by this time of the year. Trees are barren, the wind whips cold, the outdoors becomes less accessible for some of us, and the rhythm of life changes. Everything in nature seems to be either dead or on hold. You know, I have a vivid memory of standing on the playground at school doing recess duty with my L.L. Bean down coat from head to toe and a whistle frozen in my mouth. It's not a very pleasant time memory for me. And maybe while shoveling or driving on icy roads or having to bundle up in like a billion layers, you just feel that freezing winter is something to be endured. Maybe you long for a good thaw out on a tropical island. Now, I realize that some of you enjoy skiing and the outdoor sports and abhor heat as much as I hate the cold. But in general, let's see what poets and philosophers have had to say over the years. Writers recognize a dark and vulnerable essence to winter. Because winter completes the yearly cycle of the seasons, philosophers and poets have used winter as a symbol of old age and death. The primary theme of the poem The Darkling Thrush by Thomas Hardy is his despair of the modern world at the turn of the 19th century. For him, winter was the symbol that he used to describe the dying of the old world that he was used to. And he feels something's over and it's all changed. Civilization has decayed and he despairs. This is just a part of his poem, The Darkling Thrush. The land's sharp features seemed to be the century's corpse outlent, his crypt, the cloudy canopy, the wind, his death lament. The ancient pulse of germ and birth was shrunken, hard and dry, and every spirit upon earth seemed fervorless as I. And then there's a glimmer of hope that emerges in the poem. Is. At once, a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead in full-hearted evensong of joy illimited. An aged thrush, frail, gaunt, and small, in blast-beruffled plume, had chosen thus to fling his soul upon the growing doom. To me, a stark loneliness does settle over and lasts for an interminably long time, unremittingly. By March, I've had it. Robert Frost talks about the loneliness of winter in the poem Desert Places. Again, I'll just read you an excerpt. Snow falling and night falling fast, oh fast. in a field I looked into going past, and the ground almost covered smooth in snow, but a few weeds and stubble showing last. The woods around it have it. It is theirs. All animals are smothered in their lairs. I am too absent-spirited to count loneliness, includes me unawares. And lonely as it is, that loneliness will be more lonely ere it will be less. A blanker whiteness of benighted snow, with no exception, nothing to express. They cannot scare me with their empty spaces, between stars, on stars where no human race is. I have it in me so much nearer home, scare myself with my own desert places. So what I think he's saying is, yep, winter evokes loneliness in me, but you know, I acknowledge that the loneliness is within myself. It's not only created by the desolate snow outside of myself. I got enough monsters inside within without imagining more. Many people experience a kind of depression in winter. I'm sure you know winter is implicated in seasonal affective disorder due to lack of light. The harshness of winter seems to me to lead to my inner darkness and my shadow self. And that's kind of a good thing, because if we can feel and see our vulnerabilities and our fears, we're better able to deal with them. And so in a strange way, we can count on this as a gift of winter. Now we're heading in a spiritual direction. Another archetype, Old Man Winter, is portrayed as a recluse or a hermit, and his image evokes dormancy, maybe stagnation or even degeneration. This hidden opportunity of winter is really an imperative to turn around our despondency or our isolation through our own decisions. In the same way we know that adversity usually brings us closer to spirit, feet to the fire, we can be guided to change the narrative through by winter. In the physical world, a choice would be a warm crackling fire, cozy hearth, hot soup, and a warm blanket, sharing warm conversation and hospitality with friends. From Now Winter Nights Elarge by the poet Thomas Campion sort of evokes this decision, just a little piece of it. Let now the chimneys blaze and cups o'erflow with wine. Let well-turned words amaze with harmony divine. Now turning to Native American teachings, I've found so much wisdom with the indigenous people. The West, where the sun sets, symbolized by winter, is a place of testing, according to indigenous wisdom, where the will is stretched to its outer limits so that the gift of perseverance can be found. The capacity to stick to a challenge, even though it's very hard, is an important lesson to be learned through the challenges of winter. The West is the direction of darkness and of the unknown in Native tradition. It's also the direction of intuition, going in, going within, dreams, and prayers and meditation. There's a little something I wrote. It was January, late January, and Brother Bear was curled up inside his cozy den. He had long since abandoned his idyllic summer romping fattening himself on fish and mice and honey and berries. His activities had reached a frenetic pace in late fall, as he prepared for the long, cold winter ahead. At the first snow, he had lumbered into his familiar cave and settled into its womb for his winter reveries. Outside, the wind howled, and the snow drifted into massive piles, but Brother Bear didn't notice. There, in the darkness, he reflected on the year gone by, and as he snored, he listened to Mother Nature's soft whispers. In many Native American traditions, Bear represents the power of introspection. In winter, when the face of death is upon the earth, Bear enters the womb cave to hibernate and to digest the year's experience. To accomplish goals and dreams that we carry, the art of introspection is necessary. To become like Bear and enter the safety of the womb cave, we must attune ourselves to the energies of the Eternal Mother and receive nourishment from the placenta of the Great Void. The Great Void is a place where all solutions and answers live in harmony with the questions that fill our realities. The answers to those questions reside within us. Each and every being has the capacity to quiet the mind, enter the silence, and know. Many tribes have called this space of inner knowing the Dream Lodge, where the death of the illusion of physical reality overlays the expansiveness of eternity. It came from this book. This is the Native American medicine cards in the book. They have different power animals, and there are cards to accompany it. So if you want to ask a question and then choose a card, the answer will come. It usually works for me. This is elk, stamina. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I've used this as a tool for my spiritual practice for many, many years. I offer it to you. So, okay, what is perhaps the ultimate gift of winter? Winter offers us a time to rest in the quiet, releasing stress, tension, anxiety. Those bare, silent trees remind us that dormancy is an important phase of our lives. When it's blustery and snowing, we can settle into our warm inner cave spaces and explore what lies deep within our spirits. This is perhaps why winter is difficult for me, because I'm such a busy person, and getting me to sit down and introspect is difficult. So thank you, winter, for the opportunity. When icy winds blow, we can always listen to that voice of inspiration and messages from the divine. And snowflakes and sunlit silver branches remind us of crystals, icicles. Crystals have the power to clarify, amplify, and raise our vibrations and spiritually energize our spirits. So winter beckons us to shut out the frenetic hustle and bustle, walk the path of silence, the same silence offered by the gently falling snow when the world's covered in white. I'd like to end this before we go into meditation by reading you one of my favorite poems. It's an early work by Robert Frost called Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. Enjoy. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here. to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there's some mistake. Only other sounds, the sweep of easy wind, the downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep. May you find many gifts in this winter season, and may you have miles to go before you sleep. I'll stay. And now our time of prayer and meditation. And I invite you to close your eyes and listen to the sounds of the peaceful woods as it snows. And as you sit comfortably in your chair or wherever you are, feel your body being held as you relax into the space. Take a deep cleansing breath and release the tension. Breathing in. And with each breath out, go deeper into the peace. Breathing in. Breathing gently in and out. Releasing all stress. With the next out breath, journey deeper, deeper within to your heart space, where your spirit resides. Imagine yourself like Brother Bear, settling in, cozy and warm, hibernating in a dream space. You have entered the womb cave of the great void. This is the place of knowing that the answers to your questions reside within. Now direct your attention to your head. In the very center of your brain lies the pineal gland that is a channel to other levels of imagination or consciousness. Now breathe into that pineal gland, the center of intuition, dreams, prayers, and meditation. Breathing in. Perhaps winter will gift you with a new idea, a message, or an image. In the quietness of your cave, dream your dreams and own them. now as you return from your cave, give thanks to the spirit of winter. And the power of introspection. Coming gently back to the room. Slowly moving your toes. Your fingers a bit. Moving around. Stretching. And when you're ready, open your eyes. If you'd like, take a moment to jot anything you discovered, anything you felt or saw or heard. This is a gift of winter.
Thank you for finding us and tuning in to the message today. Please visit our website at sacredawakenings.org. May every day bring you sacred awakenings.